This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, General Motors says the car and truck buying public will be seeing changes in the next few years whenever we walk into a GM showroom. GM's North America Chief Financial Officer Chuck Stevens recently told analysts that the automaker will redesign, refresh, or replace nearly 90% of its vehicles in the North American market between now and 2016. So we wondered, is this a matter of blazing new trails or playing catch up with the competition? So we welcome to the program Sean McElinden, who is the Executive VP of Research and the Chief Economist at the Center for Automotive Research. He joins us in the studio. Welcome back, Sean.
Oh, thanks.
And joining us from Boston is independent auto analyst John Wolkonowicz. Hi, John.
Good to be with you today.
Good to have you with us. Sean, I want to start with you. Tell me of what you thought of that announcement from Chuck Stevens. Is it significant or is it window dressing?
No, it's significant. It's about time, too. They've been behind the market. Their product's a little older than the other companies. There was a big slowdown in 2008, 2009 for obvious reasons. They weren't traveling too fast before that either. And really, to compete these days, what the customer wants to see on the dealership lot is a car that's no more than 2.5 years since its last major redesign, 2 years old. So GM's been over four, and Ford's been doing well, and so have the other auto companies. And I think this is an excellent development. It's mostly catch up, but it's really good news for GM.
So for dealers that have been looking at trying to sell product that's really literally long in the tooth, I'm sure the dealers are really celebrating this news then.
Oh, yeah. The new product is everything at capturing. Something new to show, something new to put in the paper, something new to send, emails out to old customers or even new ones. That's what it's all about. There's nothing more important in the market today or for years now than brand-new product on the lot. So, and, you know, there's something else happening, too. We have some really tough fuel economy regulations to meet in 2016, and GM's also making a push with their last surge of models in the next 3 or 4 years to get that higher fuel economy product on the market.
Yeah, I want to make sure we touch on that. Yeah. Before we do, I want to ask you, John Wolkonowicz, when we hear Chuck Stevens say redesign, refresh, or replace, what does that really mean? Because it occurs to me a refresh could be something like a different look to a door handle, couldn't it, which would not be very big news to a buyer. It might excite an engineer, but perhaps not so much for the buyers.
Yeah, it can be something pretty small as a refresh. So from my perspective, yeah, they are playing a bit of catch-up, but this is kind of normal for any auto company to make an announcement like this, that they're always going to be doing something to 90% of their product over the next few years. So I'm not getting too excited about this. And the other thing that I think we need to look at is how effective will this new product be in the marketplace? You got to be new. That's important. But you also have to hit consumer wants and needs as you're new. Now, I can give you an example where GM didn't do that with the 2013 Malibu. They had a real hit on their hands with the 08 Malibu, which was a very successful product. But the 2013, while it was all new, really did not hit consumers the way they hoped it would. And they have a large day's supply. They shut the plant down that makes it for a while. And they're offering money back already on what is a new product. They're really getting killed by the competition. So being new isn't enough. You have to be exactly what the customer wants as well.
Do you think it's was it the changes in the Malibu that didn't hit, or was it because Ford came out with that Fusion that people really, really like, so there was a real serious contender?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, the competition in the midsize segment is huge right now. With Fusion, with Elantra, with Optima, even with Volkswagen resurging. But the 2013 Malibu simply wasn't what it needed to be. It's a very lackluster product.
So that was a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question about that. But they're not the only company that's missed at the plate. The Honda Civic a couple of years ago, or even less than that, got scathing reviews from critics, and
that's right.
It forced Honda to go back to sort of a major reskin and redo of the interior. Even the Honda Accord they had on the market 3 years ago was thought to be way too large for that company and for the market. And of course, their new Accord is a beautiful trendsetter. But and went back to the drawing board very early, and I think expect General Motors to do the same thing on the Malibu, which is, of course, in the toughest segment in the U.S. market, which is midsize sedan, and also the hottest segment in the market.
Well, they said they're going to do a front-end refresh and some changes to the interior to make it appear more roomy, but one thing they can't overcome is that short 107-inch wheelbase, which is down from 112 in the previous model. And they have one of the smallest rear seat packages in the segment. So I'm afraid they're going to be stuck with that for a while.
Boy, and that rear seat, that can make it or break it. Just, I know, speaking as a buyer, when you know that you've got kids or you've got a long-legged husband who might be in the back seat with a baby or whatever, that can really, really do you in.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm also concerned about the new Silverado and Sierra. They've announced some impressive fuel economy numbers, which is a great thing. But from a design standpoint, I think that was another hit and a miss. It almost looks like it's the truck that should have preceded the one that came out in 2007. It's a bland, boring design, and we've got Ford, who's already given us an inkling of what they're doing for 2015, but they'll be having a new truck a year after GM. And I'm actually very concerned about Silverado and Sierra, which are the number one profit makers at GM.
What do you think on the on that truck side, Sean?
It's very conservative on styling. There's isn't any question on that. It looks like they've concentrated mostly on trying to preserve the traditional V8 motor for that particular pickup. And giving a better performance than these fancy turbocharged six-cylinder editions. And they also took some weight out of the truck. Styling on a pickup truck is certainly part of the equation, but it's not as important sometimes, obviously, as the performance and the durability, which the Detroit automakers have they've been outstanding over the last 30 years and refused to give up any turf except sometimes to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and I agree with that because one of the things that Mark Royce has said is, you know, we're going to do this with traditional V8s without having to go to the complication of a V6 turbocharged or twin turbo in the case of EcoBoost. So, you know, I think that is likely to appeal to truck buyers. So they do have a strong advantage there. They've got a traditional simple V8 compared to the complicated EcoBoost V6, and they've got better gas mileage to boot. But I have to ask, what will Ford do for an Encore in 2015? And they're likely to leapfrog GM's achievement.
If you're just joining us, we are talking with Sean McAlinden, who's with the Center for Automotive Research, and independent auto analyst John Wilkonowicz, who's joining us from Boston. Sean's here in the studio with us, kind of going over a recent announcement from General Motors North America CFO Chuck Stevens, telling the world that the automaker is going to be redesigning, refreshing, and replacing nearly 90% of its vehicles in the North American market between now and 2016. And Sean, you touched on this earlier. Let's get into this more. You kind of said it's a two-sided story in a way because we're talking about design cues and changes. But as you pointed out, the government has set some real tough new fuel economy standards, and that means combined cars and trucks in 2016 in the U.S. and therefore North America are going to have to average 34.1 mpg. So that's up 35% from the current 25.3. So aren't they all going to have to refresh, design, or replace?
That's the point. The average replacement rate is probably 22-23% a year right now, and GM at 25% in the next 4 years is going to have to they're really basically just a tiny bit above average. Chrysler will in a year's time, had to delay it a bit, replace almost all of their car platforms with Fiat-based models and much smaller, more efficient motors as we try to get to that fuel economy average. And it remains to be seen whether it's going to be popular in the market. No one can guess what the gasoline price will be or what the final technology cost might be, and they're all going to, and what, you know, essentially we're going to see a lot of experimentation, I think, in this market, and that means a lot of changeover, a lot of new models, some lost downtime on plants, a real scramble by every automaker.
And then, since you're the chief economist at Center for Automotive Research, I have to ask you, what kind of impact do you think this would have on the economy here in Michigan while all of this fluidity is going on?
Well, one thing that what's interesting, if the market keeps growing and if GM can hold, you know, with these new model changeovers, probably will hold share at least, not gain all that much. We're going to be running out of capacity fairly soon as the market approaches 16 million because we did restructure so severely in the last 10 years. So, you know, essentially the downtime for all of these changeovers, we're not as good at it as maybe the Japanese at how fast we can get it done. So we really got every plant already running on three shifts over 6 days a week, running out of space for our most popular engines. We're going to have to add some employment and capacity soon.
What do you think, John?
I would agree with him definitely. They skimmed a lot of capacity off with the bankruptcy in 2009. So, you know, right now they're in a position to make a lot of money, but they may also find themselves short of capacity, having to give up some sales. But, you know, they weathered the return from bankruptcy very well. They are making profit quite handsomely right now. And in a way, that I think that's more important than getting that last sale. But one other mention on fuel economy. GM has been a powertrain leader throughout its history, and that really hasn't changed. So, I think they certainly have the capability to be very competitive in the fuel economy wars that are coming up. They have some of the best powertrain engineers in the business at GM.
That's absolutely correct. And in fact, what's interesting, the EPA recently announced a rule about much lower sulfur content gasoline by 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in GM's powertrain plans that we've seen is a heavy use of something called gasoline direct injection, particularly for that V8 engine, which can only operate with low sulfur fuel, like gasoline, like in Europe or Japan.
So they're out ahead of that parade.
As a matter of fact, here's a very rare example where the environmental movement, the EPA, and the auto industry are exactly on the same page.
There you go. What are you both going to be watching for from GM? I was wondering about your thoughts on the redesign, the Cadillac CTS for the midsize luxury sedan market, and then, of course, they have the ATS for the luxury compact sedan. What are your thoughts on those?
I think both are real winners. I think Cadillac really stepped up to the plate in revising the whole brand image back in 2002 when they introduced the original CTS with the so-called art and science design theme. They created a very unique design signature for the Cadillac brand, and that's something that's very important for a luxury brand. It needs to be immediately recognizable. And now, in the last 10 years, they've proven that they can evolve that design signature very effectively, such that now I think they have a very competitive lineup in the premium field. This is an area where Ford is still struggling with Lincoln.
Yeah, in fact, we know Ford's pouring enormous funding and resources into trying to make that Lincoln brand fresher and sexier. How do you see that working, Sean?
Well, GM just finishing a long, hard slog on Cadillac, which saw them stick with their own special platforms for that luxury brand and real drive cars, special engines just for Cadillac. None of that's been given to Lincoln, yet.
Exactly.
And you know, you're really serious about it or you aren't.
You can't have it both ways?
No, you can't. I mean, the world, that kind of buyer is just too smart.
So you're saying is that kind of buyer is not going to pay premium prices for those Lincoln models that are basically dressed up
Fords? No, I
drive
a Lincoln, too. I'm mostly for the service.
And back to Cadillac, am I right? How's the SRX doing? Because I see them everywhere. Is it strong, or is it just because I'm noticing them everywhere?
That's the best-selling Cadillac from numbers I've seen. They're doing very well with that vehicle. And again, I think the Cadillac brand, they were very successful in lowering the average age. Cadillac 15 years ago had one of the highest average age of buyers in the industry. Today it's come down quite a bit, and it's something you can be proud of again to own a Cadillac. And again, I don't think Lincoln is there. As Sean said, basically they're doing warmed over Fords. They're still trying to resuscitate Lincoln on the cheap. And I just don't see it working. I really, unless they get very serious about Lincoln, I don't see that, at least the strategy they're currently pursuing, as a successful strategy.
Even though there was a lot of talk about we're really, you know, got rid of Mercury, let's pour it all into Lincoln. But
it appears to be a lot of talk, and it's business as usual in my mind.
Well, they had an LS rear-wheel drive platform 10 years ago. They had spent $5 billion on in the 90s, and they just gave up on that car, the CEO Jack Nasser, and shelved it instead of fine-tuning it. And
exactly.
It really takes stick-to-itiveness in this market with that special engineering, too, and much of it from powertrain that just hadn't been given to Lincoln. That was a tragedy.
Let's shift gears back to GM to kind of wrap up. And I would like to get the thoughts of both of you, just what your forecast is for, you know, GM for 2013 compared to, say, 2012. Sean?
Well, they're still not going to be making money in Europe. And they might, we're worried about maybe a slowdown in China, which has been offsetting most of the losses in Europe, maybe 80% of them on the equity earnings. And I believe they'll hold market share and add a bit. You know, whether they get to 19%, there is a debate within the GM building about that, is my understanding. So a lot of shouting about prices versus market share, what they need, how large they have to be. But I think they like that profit per unit, and we'll see a strong General Motors at about 19% of the market here.
And John Wilkonowicz?
The big problem is going to be Europe. They've been hemorrhaging there for a long time. I don't see that stopping for the foreseeable future. Again, with the new product in North America, I think they can certainly hold and maybe add a bit to their market share. And then, again, as he said, the slowdown in growth in China is going to impact a major profit center for GM. So I think the picture is reasonably positive.
And I guess, especially for people listening to stateside, people who in Michigan who make their living through building cars or supplying parts to General Motors, do you have reason to feel fairly optimistic?
Yes, I do. And I think we will be adding to employment both in the supplier sector and at the company. Always good news for Michigan.
John Wilkonowicz, automotive analyst from Boston, joining us from Boston, and Sean McAlinden from the Center for Automotive Research here in the studio. Thanks to both of you. It was really fun talking with you.
A lot of fun.
Bye.